are the champions, my friend.
I just...
Here's a cold open for you.
I think it got like the last word. We'll see. We'll see how much it got. It's been a long day, but now the day is coming to an end, and there's only one thing left to do, and that is to loosen some screws.
Breathe, breathe.
All right, it's the Loose Screws podcast. It is Loose Screws number 210. Today is November 13th in 2023. 3309. And tonight I'm joined by, starting with the noisy guy, Commander Larkshadow.
What up?
And I'm also joined by Commander Bloomingwind.
Hello.
Excellent. And Nurgle, you don't get a
Howdy.
Commander.
Okay.
And I'm Commander J.N. Trex, which I should say, because it's not like I'm always here. It's not like everybody should just know this by default. But anyway, I only turn up once in a while just to maintain my ego, right?
You only lurk here.
Yeah. And you know how all the audio equipment works, unlike the rest of us. So, like, we need you here so that every show actually records.
Guys, I made the soundboard so unbelievably brain. Like, I found a work. I worked for hours to find a system that's so brain dead stupid, and I cut a deal with the developer so that you guys can have enough access to it. And he was really cool about it, and it's been working pretty damn well. And then the moment I leave you guys alone, you're like, man, I don't even want to open a website.
You forgot one very important thing.
And what is that?
We are spectacularly lazy.
It's honestly beautiful how lazy we are. It's art.
It really is.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
I didn't know there was a website. Or I would have
all the info is in the pins of the recording booth chat. I just... Okay. Anyway.
Oh, actually, there it is.
But then I have to go and look at the pins, and then I have to open a website.
I mean, I just learned what the notes were a few podcasts ago.
You got to keep in mind, Nurgle's the guy that was dealing with stolen trucks a while ago. So, I mean, he can't be expected to find a soundboard.
I'm old. I don't have a lot of patience for this newfangled technology stuff.
Well, you know, I felt like all of the solutions that we've tried and eventually moved on from have been way more complicated than this. You got to type one thing in to make the robot start, and then you got to go to this thing that I posted a link right to, and then just click a button and it just happens. And the only thing this doesn't do automatically is email me the link that I need when you're done recording. It's the only thing you have to manually do.
And I'm so lucky that happens. You're so lucky that happens.
Every time it happens on a week when I'm not here, I lose my breath a little bit, honestly.
Exactly.
I'm so proud of us.
See, in my day, if you wanted to make a recording, you had to put a little sucker on the back of the rotary telephone to record to a tape player, and the soundboard was the xylophone you kept next to you, so I don't want to hear it.
A little sucker.
Yeah, it's like a suction cup you put on the speaker.
So you had a contact transducer.
It's actually Bloomingwind obviously knows what I'm talking about, but it's a little sucker shaped microphone you put on the back of the handset for the phone.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Great. So I got to tell you guys, I've had quite a day. I got a call about something before I was running out the door to a recording session and tried to get a revision out to somebody who needed it right away. And I ended up a little bit late to my recording session. And then I was in the afternoon, I had a narrator come in to do punch-ins on an audiobook that I edited a couple of weeks ago. And just for frame of reference, when I record audiobooks, I don't leave mistakes in. I stop and we pick back up and you know, if mistakes are left in, it's because we missed them, even though we were trying not to, you know, at the time. But there's always something. 5 to 10 punch-ins is perfectly normal. If somebody came in with a list of 20, I would think, oh, that's kind of a lot. So today, I didn't have the list until just a few minutes before the guy arrived.
Oh, no. How many was it?
Just to set the stage, too, the narrator was the one. They made the narrator proof it himself. Not the author, not the publisher, the actual guy who read it. And I think that had an effect on this because he was listening to his own voice. He came in with more than 120 items on a list.
Oh, no.
For something that I was planning on spending maybe a half an hour on the outside. So I was here with him, and I did not want to schedule a second session for this. I really wanted it to get done because that's going to screw up my schedule for weeks if it doesn't get done. And I end up spending 3 hours blasting through these punch-ins just as fast as I could. And the guy was being so picky. He was nice about it. Like, he knew he was being too picky, and he kind of said, like, I know I made this huge list, but I kind of want to defer to your judgment on some of these. And I talked him out of some of them. He voluntarily let maybe a third of them go. As soon as he heard it, he was like, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't know why I put that on there. It's like, well, fuck, man, you're killing me. So I was I was later than I ever have been to pick up my daughter from aftercare after school. And then she has homework, and we have all this stuff we have to do. And oh my God. So anyway,
they charge by the minute. Like, if we get past a certain time, they start charging by the minute at that aftercare.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they go to 5:30. I think I got her at like 5:18.
Oh no.
I never get her later than like 4:30. So she was like aware that something was different.
Yeah.
Place like, are they showing up or?
They didn't get, I mean, there were still other kids there, but a lot of kids plan to be there that long, you know, and they're sort of used to it. Aria was not a usual denizen of that place after 4:30, but it's at her school. She doesn't go anywhere else. They just have, but anyway, yeah, it is what it is. But so yeah,
there was one time when my daughter was a toddler, and when you're a cardiology fellow, you know, you hand over your pager at 5 o'clock to the on-call guy. And the on-call guy was in the cath lab, and he refused to let the pager roll over to him. And so my wife was out of town.
What does that mean?
What that means is he's like, I'm not doing anything until I finish my report. And so I get this call from the emergency room, and it's like, we think this guy's having a heart attack, and it's over at the other hospital. So I had to run over to the other hospital, and I look at the guy, I bring him over to the cath lab, I try to get everything done so that I'm not late picking up my daughter. And so I'm like, I'm going to be late. And so I call up the aftercare. I mean, and we've known these people, and they love us, and we're never late. So they're like, okay. But I'm like, I'm dealing with a heart attack, so can I be a couple minutes late? And they're like, yeah, someone's dying, it's okay.
Yeah, we'll let that slide. Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm getting the guy tucked in. I'm getting ready to head over to, I beat up the guy who refused to let me roll the pager over to him. And then I start heading over to the preschool. And my wife, you know, is at the Boston airport. And she calls me up, and she's like, how was our daughter's day? And I said, I don't know yet. She said, it's 6:01. You should have picked up our daughter by now. And I said, I know that. She's like, why are you late? I said, someone was having a heart attack. And she's like, where was coverage? I said, they refused to let me roll the pager. And she's like, they're getting the bill.
Oh, yeah.
So I get there. My daughter's fine. She's not emotionally traumatized. And, you know, she's like, no charge. Don't worry about it. And I was like, thank goodness. But yeah, it's just like when I hear anyone's like, oh, I'm going to be late for after school, I'm like, get out of here. Go, you know, just
go. Please. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we have like fellows who have kids, and, you know, I'm like, I was you once, leave. We'll take care of the business. So,
hey, if I can interject real quick, I'm about to jump my carrier to hip blah, blah, blah up by Oya so I can easily get to some Spire sites. If anyone wants to jump on board, I am in Comma, I believe, right next to the station.
All right. I'm in nowhere near there.
Yeah, I remember those days of having young kids in daycare, and I'm the same way. I have, you know, guys that, hey, can I leave at like 2 o'clock, I go pick up my kids. Like, yeah, go, just go. We'll cover. We'll figure it out.
See, my wife and I had a foster girl, so we were the daycare. So we got the other end of it.
Yeah.
Like, where the heck is she? Oh, goodness.
Right. Okay. Well, that's anyway, that's me.
That I'm was a day.
Fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. How are, you know what? Lark Shadow, how have you been doing? And I ask this honestly as a admittedly snobby, ship engineering snob.
Okay, so from previous podcasts, people might be familiar with the saga of me trying to get my clipper more engineered, and
which I'll is a just mistake give a, to begin no, with. But go no, no, on. No.
That's the saga of your incomplete engineering.
Shush. And TLDR, I didn't have mats to get mats to get mats, and then I did that. So now I got the dude unlocked and I head down there like, oh yeah, we're going to do this. Cause I already had my clipper at like 50% or more of the way through G3 on the clean drives. And, I get down there and, oh frick, I forgot you have to engineer something else first to unlock the, you know, levels and grade one stuff. And that just pissed me off, so I quit and went and shot things in Warframe for a couple days. And then over the weekend, I had a cold, so I had nothing better to do. So I finally hopped in and got it done. And now I have G4 clean drives on my clipper with drive distributors. And I can almost infiniboost at this point, and I never get above 40% heat while boosting. It's kind of nice.
There you go.
I got to admit.
Well, infinite boost comes from the distributor, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost there. The distributor needs some work too, but it's getting there. Mm-hmm.
I think I was unaware that you had to start with a completely virgin piece of equipment with a new engineer.
Yeah. Well, no, you have to, you start at grade one. They just don't have any other grades unlocked until you spend some time and like get some reputation with them.
Yeah, you have to level up the engineer.
Right, and some of them can level up from other things. Some of them, they're the only way, and I don't remember who is who, but the only way is through actual engineering. But there are some where their stations will buy or sell commodities, and that will gain you rep. Right. You could sell exploration data to some of them. It depends what services are at that particular station.
With Palin, it was only engineering. So I now have G4 size 4 thrusters for some reason.
You can give him Thargoid stuff. You could have him like, you could have, I don't know what all works, meta alloys, sensors, random stuff. Yeah, he's very into it. That's why he's the one in the news this week.
Right.
At coming any up rate, with new,
I ended
new
up
tech.
Engineering through it. So,
yeah. What you should have done is just switched your thrusters over to dirty drives like somebody who isn't trying to go slow.
There you go.
What do you think of that, Sass? Yeah.
I'm still getting over a cold. I'm too tired to deal with the sass.
I think he's trying to prevent pollution in the galaxy.
Oh, yeah. He's got clean drives. And yeah, he's like, it's 2023, people. Let's get clean.
He's gone green.
Yeah.
Well, I do like Antol, so space hippie confirmed. But that's basically been my week in game, and out of game, we've just been getting over a cold that's been going around, and it sucks and would not recommend.
Yeah. Yeah.
One out of 5 stars on Yelp.
Yeah.
would not chill again. Who's next? Who's up? You guys coin toss for it.
I guess I'm up because
go Blooming.
Blooming Wing goes before Nurgle, I guess. So last week was interesting. I was on TV, so
hey,
which one?
Yeah,
for something good or something bad?
Something good. So Channel 2, our local news affiliate for ABC, has a midday program where it's just, you know, live, local, you know, special interest stories and whatnot. And one of my patients is a former journalist, media, TV person. And she's gotten out of that business, but she's still friends with people in the business. And so about a year ago, they did a feature on her because she was diagnosed with a disease that I take care of called POTS, or postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she's doing really well now. And so she was talking to her friend who's the host, and they said, why don't we do another one and let me bring my doctor on. So she's like, can you do this? And I'm like, yeah, sure, I could do this. And Vanderbilt gave it the okay. And so I went ahead down to the studio, and, you know, I didn't realize that I thought it was going to be like a recorded segment, because I've done a couple of recorded segments for other local news stations across the country, but I've never done, you know, anything live. And I was just like, holy crap, this is like, I wasn't expecting this. And so, so it was fine, but it was just one of these situations where it's like, okay, this is how you do it. This is the timing. You're on now, you know, okay, you're done, you know? And I mean, 5 minutes is not a lot of time. It's a very, very short segment. But it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was kind of a different experience for me, because I try to avoid these sorts of things, but, you know, I've been asked to do them once or twice. And so
fame, you try to avoid fame.
Well, it's not so much just it's not the fame, because I mean, yeah, like, who's watching like the local thing? Yeah,
there's,
you know, it's like,
there's no fame on a noontime local TV show.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's just filler, but it was fun.
Cool.
Yeah. So, and then Grover wanted me to tell a story from the weekend. So, my wife went down to Oxford to visit our daughter.
Is this because he knows about the story in question, or just because he just loves your weekend?
No. He knew about the story kind of came up, because it was like, he was talking about how, like, we were talking about how daughters are expensive, because, like, somebody had a daughter, sure. and we're like, yeah, that's expensive. And he was saying how, like, you know, his little one can be a little bit expensive. I was like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, wait till they get till they're 20. Yeah. And it's like really bad. And so anyway, so my wife went down, and, you know, they went dress shopping, because my daughter needs a dress for this party, that party, the other party. And so she sends me a text, and she's like, oh, by the way, I bought our daughter a dress. And I said, okay. And I'm like, how much? And then she told me, and I was like, that's a lot.
You did what?
So I gave them more zeros than I thought.
Well, no, it wasn't more zeros than I thought. It was just, you know, the first digit was higher than I thought it would be for, you know, and so I just called up, and it wasn't more zeros. Thank goodness. But
yeah,
I just call up. And then as soon as I call up, say, hey, that's a lot of money. My daughter just went off on me. You know? And I was just like, forget I said anything. I'll just suck it up and deal. Pretend
yes,
I never
ma'am.
Called. Have a good day. So I was like, great.
That's so, the side of being a girl dad that no one talks about.
Right. Yeah, that's what it was, because we were talking about being a girl dad. And I think Daxie was involved somehow with this, because I know he's a girl dad too. So
Yep.
Just you wait. Just you wait, cracks.
Yeah, mine's 8.
Yeah. It gets worse. Yeah, it might be like
the fanciest dresses are not that expensive.
No, they're not. So when she's a tried out Ole Miss, you will pay.
Yeah.
Oh, the dress budget's greater than the school budget. So they'll give her a scholarship. Anyway, and then in game, I've basically been on the frontier of upper screw space, preparing the way for continued expansions as we kind of take control of the upper boundary of our controlled area. We've been having some interesting shenanigans in Dirac, where we can progress as we raise influence, and then we regress, and then we progress, and then we regress. And so I think there are a bunch of massacre missions in that system that are being dropped. And I think there's just a whole bunch of people like making money off of it, which drives me crazy. But that's what I was up to in game.
How dare they enjoy the sandbox in my part of the sandbox?
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's obviously we don't bemoan anyone having a good time, but it would be nice, I think, if there was just a little bit more cohesion.
Yes.
You know, the fact that stuff can happen that has such a great, powerful effect on what other players are doing or working on or seeing in the numbers, even without any sign of it. Like, even if you really look and you can sometimes not find what it turns out to be, you know, it should be visible, you know? We should just be able to see it. And that's a frustrating deficit that this game has, you know?
When in doubt, blame the Fednecks.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's usually a good bet. But it would still be nice if we could see them. You know,
I think
whether we wanted to combat the thing or not, just seeing it would be a living galaxy. Seeing a galaxy that changes and moves underneath our feet, you know, not always exactly the way we want. Hey, that's a game. That's fun. But it's not alive if it's just looks like there's an invisible hand steering things in the background sometimes. And that's sort of crappy.
Yes. I mean, I like that because like you can make new space buddies. You know,
yes.
I mean, I've actually met people because, you know, they were kind of mucking around in a system or something. And I just said, hey, what you up to? And they're like this. And I'm like, okay.
And you're like, shut up. This is my house.
Yeah. I don't see a flag.
Beluga into them.
Yeah. Well, I'll never forget when the Trade Federation came into Kalarum during a public holiday.
Holy Moses. Oh my gosh.
30 fleet carriers. And so I go over to their Discord and I'm like, I see that y'all have a bunch of fleet carriers in my system. And they were like, your system? I don't see a flag. So
snap.
I dropped the Kalarum flag on them and they were like, you do have a flag?
Because he actually makes flags for all of our systems.
It just so happens we do have a flag.
We're loose screws and we're into vexillology.
Yeah.
So what did they say to that?
They said, oh, okay. And then they just explained what they were doing, which is they explained that the states were ones that were rich for selling agronomic treatment. So it's just become a joke that, you know, Kalarum has an annual fertilizer festival.
I honestly, I believe it.
That's probably exactly what they would have done if you didn't have a flag. But I did think that interaction was pretty
nice. Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, because I could see it, I was able to have an interaction.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm stuck on the... And then they said, well, I didn't see a flag. And you're like, oh, yeah, and here's the flag.
Yeah. Those things come in handy once in a while. But, remember the Christmas scavenger hunt last year?
Sure.
Yeah, we had to go deliver gifts for Santa.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so when I first got to the system where you pick up the presents, you know, I got pulled by some dude. And I was, because I was scanning and trying to figure out where everything was in the system, because it was a new system to me. And he's like, are you carrying anything? And I'm like, honestly, no, I'm just scanning the system at this point. He's like, okay, well, I won't kill you then. So just have a great day. And it was fun. So, you know, and it was just when I switched to PC.
I could share one of my favorite interactions here during a CG. I went and opened because I'm a masochist. And, I was hauling in my T10 because I figure, hey, I got tons of armor, tons of weapons, tons of whatever I'm carrying. That's good enough for me. And I got pulled over by another dude in a dropship who actually ended up being a really cool dude. Did the whole pirate interaction. I ended up giving him like 10 tons of whatever it was I was carrying. It was great.
Happily giving in to thieves.
That only encourages them.
I mean, yeah, but let's be honest, he's in a dropship. Of all the medium ships, that's one of the ones that could probably out-tank a T-10.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, goodness. Speaking of invisible hands, how are you, nerds?
Nothing really interesting happened this week, but since Bloomingwind brought up his drop the mic, here's the flag moment.
Yeah.
It's 1988. I'm riding with my friend Thomas back to where he lived outside of Atlanta, Georgia, from Auburn, where we were in school, because he had a softball game the next day and had left his glove at home. And it's like 9 o'clock at night. We're on this back road in Georgia.
So much flavor text in this story.
I love it.
It's so great.
And he's flying low. To this day, I don't know how fast he was going, but he was flying. Georgia State Trooper pulls him over, walks up to the side of the car with this smug-ass look on his face and says, son, you are flying. I hope you have a pilot's license. Thomas reaches into his wallet and pulls out his pilot's license. And the look on that state trooper's face was, I have no answer for this. And then he wrote him the ticket anyway and told him to keep it under the speed limit and send him on his way.
There you go.
So your buddy was like, you've fallen into my trap card.
The look, I will never forget the look of that state trooper's face when he saw that pilot's license. He was not expecting that to happen. Then he wrote him the ticket anyway. But
now, was he in the pilot program at Auburn?
No, he just had, he independently had a single engine pilot license.
Just a little like PPL?
I don't know what it is. Okay, you're talking strange shit to me. I don't understand that.
That sounds like Wings talk to me.
Yes. I don't understand that aeroplane stuff. No, I have no idea what license he had.
Because they have an aeroplane program there that's supposed to be outstanding. So,
well, he
outstanding in the field.
We're not going to talk about that particular man and how many times he changed his major. He at one point switched from engineering to meteorology, and there was a foreign language requirement to graduate with meteorology. So he tried to claim calculus as a foreign language.
I mean, not going to lie, that's a smart move.
And that's pretty much what the dean of the program said. He said, I see what you were doing there, and I understand it, but no. And then he graduated in something else entirely, because like I said, he changed his major like 9 times in 4 years.
Just had to find the one he already had the requirements for, right?
Pretty much. Long story. Anyway. And nobody here knows him, because he doesn't play this game, so it's really not interesting podcasting.
I know he forgot his glove.
Yeah. And you know, I don't even think he found that glove. I think we drove all the way to Atlanta and back and never found the damn glove.
Son of a bitch.
Oh, well, yeah. Strange shit you remember from 40 years ago when you were in school.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I actually got to do some BGS in over the weekend. Fought in a couple of our wars. Pretty mundane stuff. Work has been nice and calm too. Nothing weird has happened.
Nobody stole anything for a while.
No, about the most interesting thing that has happened is, of course, I've been flirting with the idea of retiring. And of course, when I retire, it's not like I'm going to go sit at the house and work on hobbies. I'm just going to retire from this job and go to another one. And here a while back, I took a call from a friend of a friend about a possible job, and we talked and it sounded nice, and but they wanted somebody full time now, and I'm not quite ready to retire yet, so that wasn't going to work. They called me the end of last week and said, we really want you, and we're willing to wait until after you're retired. So if you would like to do some part time work and start training, we can start talking about that. Like, really? That's you know, and you kind of like to hear that.
Nice.
It's nice to get that call from somebody that says, yeah, we want you. So yeah. I don't know so I guess I'm going to actually have to get serious about setting a date for retirement now, because I actually have something to move on to.
That's the way to do it. But,
that is the
you
way
get
to
pension,
do it.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the way to do it.
Yeah. And clock is a ticking, so there's no point in staying past 25, and I've stayed 28.
I mean, let's be honest, you should probably move states when you retire from that job, because you know everything's just going to go to crap.
See, but that's okay. If they want to try to call me after I'm gone to come back and fix something, that's fine. I'll work freelance at whatever rates I set.
And they guess can what? My rates doubled.
Oh, no, doubled is not even close. But then they can make the choice on whether or not they want to pay that. Because at that point, it's either you pay me or I'm fine staying home.
Right. That call's already been made. So
exactly.
I mean, this pickleball tournament's coming up. So,
you know, I have never played pickleball.
It's really coming back. All of my wife's friends keep talking about pickleball all the time. Man, what's up with this pickleball?
Everybody talks about
the Golden
pickleball.
Bachelor.
Oh my God. Is that what it is?
That's not a ringing endorsement.
I know it's not.
But my wife and I are obsessed with that show. So
not just The Bachelor, the Golden One. That might be it. Oh no.
Because I know cities all around us are steady converting tennis courts into pickleball courts.
Wow.
And I have never played it, and I have some friends who are already retired who have called me and asked me to show up at like 9 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday to play pickleball. Like some of us are still at work, and that's all.
Yeah, I mean, some of our
I think they're trying to tell you something.
They are.
Yeah, some of our tennis courts have pickleball hours, but there are some malls where abandoned department stores are being converted to like pickleball emporiums. I mean,
good Lord,
it's crazy.
I guess I need to try this newfangled pickleball thing.
Wow. I don't know what it's about. Apparently it's like tennis, except different.
It's some cross between tennis and ping pong.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I think it's doable tennis if you suck at tennis because when you get old, that court's pretty big and then it takes a lot of skill, but if they change the ball, you change the mallet and it makes it a little bit kind of more manageable, I think.
So what if you were actually pretty good at tennis in a previous century?
Then you're already a master at pickleball.
I think playing varsity baseball to like beer league softball.
Beer league softball
transition.
And now, oddly enough, I know somebody who made that transition, so I understand what you're talking about. And that is okay. I understand that. I get that reference.
Yeah. We had a softball team when I was a fellow and, you know, I mean, there was a couple of us who played baseball in high school and hitting the ball was a different process. Like our timing was completely jacked up. It was very frustrating, but like our fielding was great, but like the hitting, it was like you're expecting to murder the ball and it just gets this weird spin on it and stuff and forget it.
You know, if you want to murder the ball, go play like Olympic level badminton.
Yeah, those people are crazy. Yeah.
Yes.
And wow, have we gone way off course.
So here's the thing about this week on Space Chats with Friends. We're over 30 minutes into the episode now. And we've just been shooting the shit. You know, if something happens, I don't get to play Elite. It doesn't mean I don't want to talk with my friends for a while.
That's true.
You know, yeah. So it's like, yeah, you know what? This is what we do. Yeah, and frankly, there isn't all that much going on right now in the game. So it's fine. It's fine. But do you think have we hit it? Are we ready to kick this on down the road? I mean, we don't have the Bard's taking a week off too. It's fine.
I'm ready to kick the pig a little more. I'm about to jump into City Sector XOA. B3 for the first time. See if I can make it to Aspire site.
Okay, you're gonna do Aspire run, and I'm gonna.
Three weeks of engineering. He's ready to make another run at Aspire site.
Screw you!
You gotta go fast, and it helps to be able to go silent running. That's all, and you can make it there. But you keep like doing things like putting clean drives on your ship and you know that's not as good as it gets. And I just don't understand I don't know what to do. You finally unlock Palin. You're like, I can't do anything in this game. It's the stuff that you say is easy is too hard hasn't unlocked Palin.
Getting hyper-addicted.
Here it comes. So boost, run. silent running, boost. That's the thing. And actually, it might not even be a glitch. Yeah. But if it is, that's your mission. Boost and silent. That's what your heat sinks are for. Stay in silent for a while. We're all pausing.
It's a cyclops. I can get away from this guy.
Oh, we'll just fly in a straight line then. All right. I'll tell you what, guys. I'm going to play a squad briefing sound, and we're going to catch up on what the hell's going on in Screw Space. Well, I'm going to try to. I'm going to push the button. Let's try it again.
Incoming message.
Squadron briefing.
Alrighty, so we've been pretty busy. We have three wars going on. The wars in Zions and MCC 858 are wrapping up. We had a big victory in Yamaya last week, not Yemi Yaya. Nurgle.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. There, you have to add letters to get to Yemi Yaya.
You my ass.
I escaped the first high prediction.
Then we have a war looming in Kalarum, of all places. So
what?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's...
Wait, in Kalarum?
That whole thing's a mess. I mean, it just...
Even when we give up Gordian Kalarum, not, it's a pain in the eye.
I don't even know if we could call Kalarum a mess anymore. What's beyond mess?
Afghanistan?
It's a clusterfuck.
I mean, it's just a hot mess. So anyway, we want to win them all. There's not a war we don't want to win. And then more...
Win them all.
Yeah. And then we got elections in Graham that'll be wrapping up soon. And then a... election at LP29-188. That's one of our new systems, and we want to take control of that system. And this war, this election is for control. So vote early, vote often, the Chicago way. And we're really overheating in HIP 4907. I have no idea what's going on there, but yeah, but we way overshot the mark when we hit this expansion. So that needs to get beat down, even though we're going to get a 15-point drop when the expansion ends. It, you know, we want it lower than that. And then 6 Andromeda is heating up. And then some of the other Andromedas are thinking about heating up. So I appreciate everyone who likes beating down overheating systems, because it's not my idea of a good time. And then expansion, we are expanding from HIP 4907. We're going to Mythos. Which is a system that has some outposts, so medium landing pads, everybody, when we try to take it over. And then we're trying to push Duroc next, with our target being LP27-9, which is a really great system. It's got multiple stars, multiple spaceports. It's a real good time. I've been there for like the last couple weeks trying to...
Nice.
Trying to free up the whole Centurion, the Centurion hierarchy accidentally jumped into it, you may recall, several weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we had other business to take care of, and now we're in the process of moving them out with their permission. And then once we get them out, we'll be ready to jump in from Dirac. And details of your standing orders are in the details of all of our standing orders are in the standing orders channel. And any questions you have are in the Loose Crews faction channel in the Discord. So if you have questions, ask us. We love talking BGS there.
Unbelievable.
Nice. So I left that hyperdiction Thargoid group so far in my dust, they weren't even on my radar by the time I was charging my FSD.
That's probably because you don't have engineered sensors. Oh, God, facepalm so hard.
No, I do have long-range sensors.
All right. Lark's my punching bag.
Yeah.
It's fine. Fine.
Although I did just get pulled over by scouts and they angry.
Yeah, scouts suck. They're actually, besides glaives, they're the only other thing that usually damages me for a point or two before I escape, because they just get shots off soon enough, whereas interceptors don't bother.
They do.
They have to roar and make a big show of it, and by the time you're gone.
They have to flex.
So. Yeah, exactly.
And they are now, they got a couple percentage of hit points on my armor, but they're now already dropping off of radar range too.
That's fine. So are you in the system now?
Oh yeah, I'm 16 million blah 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 away from the spire site.
There you go. You're going to make it. And just remember, children, the banshees don't respawn. So if you're planning on hanging around for a while, maybe go kill them. But anyway.
They don't?
Whatever. They don't respond, no. So when you're doing the big group things, you can either have fun with the try to avoid the shutdown grenades game, or you can just go down there and wipe them out, and then don't worry about it.
Well, this is my first time
as long
here,
as somebody holds the instance open.
Sorry,
go ahead.
Go ahead, Lark. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm planning on dropping just a little bit of a ways away to give myself time to see WTF I'm doing, since this is my first time here.
Yeah, it's not a hugely big deal. Just drift around. The missiles scream really loud and they're very slow moving, but you'll want the option to change direction quickly now and then to finish avoiding them. I like to do a boost and then break with the landing gear.
Nice.
So that you change direction quickly, but you don't send yourself Because you're in a gravity well, so an errant boost can be the death of you.
Yeah, and this one's 0.41 gravity, so you do have to pay attention to it.
Right,
a little bit.
Yeah. If you're near half a G, you will wipe yourself right out with a bad boost. So yeah, you do a boost, but then you immediately break.
Big target.
Yeah, you immediately break. So that'll help avoid them.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Holy crap! So, you can see the thing from orbit. That is so cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Nurgle, sorry.
I thought that there had been some discussion in a previous show about how banshees were really difficult to kill from a ship.
Yes. They have very, very effective missile countermeasures. If you're within a certain range, missile launchers will simply fail all the time. Missiles that do get off will swing wide. Even dumbfire missiles will just go flying off in the wrong direction because of their countermeasures, even if you're not shooting at the banshees. But if you are, and I've seen also the missiles just explode early, like they just don't ever make it to the banshee. Really, really effective missile defense. But I believe other weapons can hit them. But I think generally the most effective way is to take them out from the ground. Because that's where the weak points are underneath on their belly. So you go down there and smoke them. So I think if people go in a group, then the first thing you do is you land, hide an SRV somewhere to reload, and then everybody hops in their dominators and just runs out there and shotguns them to death from underneath.
Thanks for the dominators, underneath them,
too. Yeah, if you're directly underneath them, I believe they can't shoot you. So like the dangerous part is getting to them, and then once you're underneath them, you just sit there and shotgun them to death underneath where the armor is weak. And they don't come back.
Holy crap.
And then you recall the ship and so on and so on and so on. But so I guess now, yeah, I don't know. I've never shot one down from a ship. I only ever tried when I was loaded with missiles. And then I haven't really bothered other than that. But because it's not that big a deal to avoid the things. And then one other time I was in a large group and I think they'd all been killed before I got there. Because I didn't ever see any missiles, so.
Well, I'm parking my happy butt 8 kilometers away, so.
Okay. All right. You got a long run. But anyway.
Yeah.
There's lots of Revenant there, too.
I've got two SRVs. I'm fine.
Okay. We'll see. The Revenant are going to make short work of your SRV, but we'll see.
And by fine, I mean I will be talking about my death shortly.
So I guess the next thing I'm going to do is check in on Galnet. So let's see. Here's the stuff I care. Do we care about this Felicia Winters resisting Hudson's legacy projects thing? Come on.
This just in. New president doesn't like old president.
Yeah. Hudson did some stuff that's clearly going to make Felicia Winters look bad. She can't leave it there because it's awful. But hey, if she gets rid of it, then she looks bad. Yes, you should not have your ship there. You shouldn't have an SRV there either, unless you're up on the pedals. I mean, they're going to get found. But anyway, you'll find out.
Yeah, you know it's fine. Ship's on its way out, so.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, blah, blah, blah. So there's a couple of Galnet articles about that. Now, the interesting stuff. So Palin made a breakthrough. Actually, this is the only article. Analysis of objects and refinery compounds obtained from Thargoid Spire sites have revealed a crucial connection to the Titans. So Palin's figured out that they're, you know, refining and resupplying, refueling somehow the Titans or stuff. Something's coming from these Spire sites that helps them. And he's figured out some way of sabotaging them, their vital enzymes.
Precious bodily fluids.
They're precious Titan bodily fluids. So to capitalize on this newfound understanding, my team has synthesized a biological contaminant based on the chemical composition of the samples. Introducing this to Aspire's processing chain can only help our efforts to disrupt their invasion plans. So yeah, so what we have now are missions that showed up on Friday, I guess, a couple of days ago now. So
biological warfare against the Thargoids has never failed before.
Mycoid 2, Mildew Boogaloo.
I was going to say non-combat Thargoid War action number 37 and a half so far as this non-combat war, you know, drags on and on and on.
This is Thargoid War platforming activity number one.
Right. Okay, so the deal is you pick up the mission from a rescue ship. The mission asks you to get, I didn't write down exactly what it was, but one each of the things that you can get from the Spire sites, the sap and two other things
the sap, the goo, and the chunk, whatever they are.
Yeah, whatever they are. So the three of the things that you get, it's the three commodities that you can get from it. So, and they are all corrosive. And you can farm these ahead of time and bring them en masse to the megaship. But anyway, to turn in. So they ask for like these three things. Providing those turns in that part of the mission, and your reward is a contaminated thing, a bit of contaminated stuff that you then go take back to the Thargoid Spire site. And now, instead of the commodities with the SRV down on the ground, you want to go to one of the Spire's pedals and you do the fun platforming game, recommend an Artemis suit for its extra jump capabilities, and you zap the four things around there, and it will cause the little receptacle to open. And from there, you place contaminated thing. And at that point, the whole site gets very irritated. You're basically sand in its eyes. The thing turns all red.
Sand in its
What used to be some banshees trying to make your ship go away and Orthruses going about their business while they are mercilessly murdered over and over suddenly turns into an absolute war zone full of Medusas and basilisks. At that point, you should leave. unless, and this is probably what I'm going to try to do, you decide to fight them. Because why not?
TLDR. Into the site, throw the thing in the thing, like Del Gribble running in like pocket sand.
Yeah, I'm interested. Maybe if myself and some other Thargoid combat people get a chance to play sometime together, we'll cause this to happen. And
we should try this at an Oya site.
It's been a while. It's been a while since I've been attacked by multiple interceptors that weren't Cyclops. So that will be an exciting event. Two Medusas is hard. Actually, a Basilisk plus anything else is very hard because of the speed. But anyway. Yeah, and in gravity, no less. So So that's the deal. What do you think? Oh, and the other thing, this apparently has effect on the Thargoid War progress, as Spire sites also seem to affect kind of everything in the area, as the Titan rescuing humans from the Titans does.
Of course. Well, it's the second part of tissue sampling. You've sampled a tissue, and now you're taking back, as Burr puts it, a poisonous pineapple.
Oh, shiznit!
to give them their sample back. So
right. So we're making that full circle, and then the rewards at the end of this are apparently the manufactured material rewards that we often get from missions, but I've heard of rewards in the 6 to 9 units per mission of biotech conductors and exquisite focus crystals and modified embedded firmware. So yep, that's very significant.
So I'm at the site now, and I had a Orthrus come in out of witch space like 100 feet above my SRV. That was freaking rad.
Blow it up.
It's a hell of a view, yeah.
40 million, Lark. Blow it up.
Yeah, I'll blow it up later.
Load up that shotgun and go get them.
I have not seen any Banshees or Revenants or anything like that yet. And I am at the base of the main column now.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can get to the tallest one is actually kind of near the outside. So, yeah. You may not have seen them yet. Just keep looking around. You'll find them. They're there.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking I'm gonna park around here and go in around the spire on foot, see what I can see.
Sure.
Or die what I can die, you know, whichever.
Well, they're the same.
Yeah. Some of the stuff that you can get there is commodities, so you will need to carry it in the SRV.
Hey, I'm just happy to be here.
So that's the story, and part of the news of all this, part of the excitement seems to be around once again, maybe is this the second time it's happened that there are missions that involve on foot and in the ship and provide so something you're doing on foot provides a mission reward that has manufactured materials as a reward. So the word is tying the two totally separated games together. So, you know, should we give them credit for finally associating the games a little bit?
Baby steps, for sure.
Mm. Baby steps.
Yeah.
I feel like it's, you know, I guess baby steps is how I feel about it. I feel like there's missions that don't involve, like, missions that have anything to do with on foot stuff that don't also have like a ship component or some association should be very rare. It seems weird to me that it was ever disassociated. So I'm very on team. These feel like two entirely separate games. So yeah, I mean, this is fine that there's a section here that you have to do by climbing out of the SRV. Seems legit. That's what I think.
I mean, I've had Odyssey for a year and I still haven't done anything on foot.
All right.
I mean, yeah.
I'm going to put my grumpy old man hat on.
Yeah.
Because I have issues, some of which are mine, and I freely admit that. Okay. I don't think it's any secret, because I know I have said it before, that this is my spaceship flying game, not my on-foot game. So I am coming at this from a biased perspective. I realize that.
Yeah.
Which means I'm still going to get hate mail, but I know my truth. One of the reasons that I have never really taken exception to anything with on-foot gameplay is because it has been structured as essentially a parallel game that occupies the same space that you can participate in as much as you want. There's no requirement to participate in it.
Yeah. They're very separate. Totally agree with you.
Right. They're very separate. And I do actually kind of agree with the sentiment that they may be too separate, but the point being, there's no mandatory crossover. So if you're not interested in either flying a spaceship, why are you in this game, or doing on-foot combat, you don't have to.
Yeah.
When they start doing missions like this, granted, you do not have to participate into them, but we'll get to why I think that's a fallacy in a second. But they're forcing that crossover in order to participate in this particular event. Now, that alone doesn't really piss me off until you get to the rewarding 6 to 8 grade 5 ship materials for this. One,
okay.
Two problems I have with this. One, I'm not a big fan of rewarding ship materials for on-foot stuff, just like I would not be a big fan of rewarding on-foot stuff for doing ship missions. I think those two ecosystems should remain separate, and if you want to participate in them, they're their own path. I have a real big problem with deliver something on foot and get 6 to 10 grade 5 ship materials. There is no equivalent mission for that in a ship. You can't get 6 to 10 grade 5 materials doing anything.
Yeah. Two Hydra is like was like not 6 to 10.
Right. So yeah,
and that's like an impossible mission to fulfill almost.
So what they've done is, because the on foot stuff is the new hotness, they've made it prohibitively desirable to do the on foot missions.
Hold on, that's, yeah, that's the title.
That's a
go on.
I'm with you on that. You know, they have clearly put a hand on the scales here to force people towards doing the on foot stuff. Not force. Force is the wrong word. They have heavily incentivized the on foot stuff by rewarding an obscene amount of grade 5 materials for running this mission. And that bothers me.
Let me know when it's my turn to push back on you.
All right, I'm almost finished. Either tone it back to the 3 or 5 like other missions are, or give me a ship version of this mission where I can get 6 to 10. Either response would be fine. I'm not a big fan of the creep there to begin with, but if you balanced it out, I could live with it. All right, Trax, go.
Okay.
Quick question, if I may interject. Sorry.
Okay.
At these spire sites, how many of these spires should be shooting lights out the top?
All of them.
Oh, okay. I had only ever seen the big one doing that, and there's like 4 doing it here, so I was curious.
Yeah, they're just a bunch of different sizes.
Cool, I'm new with this. Carry on.
Okay, so the point about not wanting material rewards to overlap, I think you're just wrong on that. But I think it's a complicated question that involves some like game design and game balance things that I'm not necessarily expert in, or we're not, I should say. But generally speaking, I think the whole Odyssey introduction to the game like would have been a lot smoother if there was just a bunch of overlap, because the fact that you can only get like some of the on foot materials are just so ridiculously hard to find. You have to do these very specific things, and it's very involved, and you have to build up, and you can't, it's extremely difficult to get them without already having them, and because you've already engineered things sometimes, and just having, and I don't know. So maybe there's a benefit to the game to being that way, because you have to like take your time and progress farther before you start to get rewards. But I don't know. I think some overlap on both sides would have gone a long way, because if there was just some things you could do in your ship where I already have a lot of engineered stuff and I can more easily accomplish some things to at least get me started on the on-foot materials, then it wouldn't have been such a slog at the beginning. Yep. And you know what I mean?
And I don't disagree with you. My objection to that would dwindle to almost nothing if it was just balanced back the other way.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah. Because so far, there's no way to get on foot rewards without doing on foot missions. Right, they've only crept it into ship stuff as rewards for on foot. You know, the other thing is this mission is rather involved. You do have to go back and forth to the rescue ship like twice and to the spire site.
No argument.
And getting the materials is a bit of work too. I mean,
it's pretty non-trivial to get in there and pick this stuff up. I mean, ask Lark. It's not super end game content. Like I know some people, this is a big discussion right now, right? Like that the major thing that's happening in the game right now is the Thargoid War. And when any of the new stuff turns out to be sort of hard, it gets nerfed like the scythes.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's sort of hard for a second and everybody complains, and suddenly the scythes basically disappear and become irrelevant after a background change. And I feel like that, you know, some of this really should be, you can't, you know, not everybody should be able to access every mission in the game as a beginner, you know, and I don't care if you've played the game for 8 years, if you've not done Thargoid combat before, you're a beginner.
Exactly.
And that's because this is a game of professions, right? And it's a game of, it is a bit of the philosophy of this game has always been that you don't have to do certain things. Right. You can choose to just be an explorer or whatever. But then I always have to remind people of this caveat when they get mad about engineering, because I shouldn't have to go do mining in order to unlock the blah, 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 blah. And I said, no, you don't. But if you want the rewards, you do. Like, that's the thing. You don't get to say, like, I shouldn't have to mind, but I want the rewards of having mined. That's not how it's going to work.
No, and engineering, I mean, honestly, is kind of like the poo-poo platter for the game. I mean, it's kind of this appetizer sampler of, if you want to unlock all the engineers, you got to do a little this, a little that. Right. You know, you got to
try
ranks.
Some of almost everything.
That engineering grind was done right. Because in order to unlock the engineers, you have to try everything that the game provides.
Right. Yeah. The only thing you don't have to try is power play, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was having a discussion on this. It was a few weeks ago, but somebody brought this up because they were getting into it and, like, they were mad about certain parts of the engineering grind. And I will never give in to the point. I think it is absolutely done correctly, like you say. Yeah, forces
I agree
you
with
to
you.
Experiment because you don't know if you don't like something until the end. And this person I was talking with said that they really knew beforehand that they didn't like something. And I
hey,
think
the Banshees found me.
There you go. And I think they're wrong about that. But even if they aren't, then, you know, the answer is you don't have to do it. Right. But if you want the engineers, then you do.
Hey, and the really key thing about the engineering grind is it may, as you unlock the engineers, it forces you to experiment with all the different styles of gameplay. But it's a very, very brief and light experiment. You do not have to go deep into any of it. You just have to taste it. So you're not really forced. If you don't like it, you're not forced to do more than a few minutes of it, which again, it's the right way to do it.
Yeah.
Right. I think it is seen as this monolithic thing because there are so many of them, but each individual thing isn't. And of course there's the Fox's Guide to the engineering progression,
which fabulous. I did.
Yeah. And I personally discovered it when I had already unlocked a few of them, so I didn't get to follow it completely start to finish, but it's on several versions in now as they've refined it, and it does optimize things. So, you know, the engineering grind, it's not a shortcut. It's not a, you know, do this get rich scheme and then get an anaconda. You do still experience all the things in the game, but what it saves efficiently, for those who might be interested, is like, there are things where you have to do you have to collect some combat bonds, but then from somebody else, you have to do some other kind of combat, or you have to go to a certain place, and so they have you like, well, you know what? Why don't you get your combat bonds from this place where you'll also be gaining rank with the whatever faction, which is going to help you a little later down the road, you know? So you're just sort of overlapping several of them. You know what? While you're mining for bromelite or whatever, make sure to pick up 10 of these because later somebody's going to ask you for them.
You'll need now, them.
Yeah. And that's, I think, really good. And I ended up, like I said, I had a few unlocked and then I discovered this guide and just that became my mission for the next few months. Well, and this was a long, long time ago, but like that, and it was quite fun going all the way through the whole thing.
And it was how I oriented myself to the game. I mean, when I first bought the game, it was like right on the eve of the pandemic. And, you know, first I did the tutorials, and then I hung around the Nubula probably for a little longer than I really needed to hang around the Nubula. And then as soon as I left, I was like, okay, I got to do the engineering thing. So I went all the way out to the Pleiades, you know, in my Cobra to unlock, to get the meta alloy for a Farseer. And then, you know, because of the Fox's Guide, you know, I stopped and I scanned the crap out of everything along the way. And then I had all this Cardo data I could use to unlock another one. And then, you know, once I got, you know, some engineering onto my Cobra, I went all the way out to the shards and then got all my raw mats. And then went further out to unlock Palin and Sidisi, and then came back, and then I did some of the other things, and then more of the other things, and then it was still during the mining boom, and so I was able to unlock the miners because I taught myself how to mine, you know, going after low temperature diamonds, you know, right before they nerfed that, and so, you know, I progressed with ships too, and I went from Cobra to Asp to Python to T10, And that became my new miner. And then, you know, I kind of set up shop in Desia, and I was there forever until I got a fleet carrier. And that's where I called home, you know, a pretty hostile place to call home. But yeah, the whole engineering thing was just beautiful, you know, so.
Yeah. And imagine if you could pick up on foot, you know, if you can be gathering some on foot materials and learning about that along the way, because there's some overlap.
Yeah.
You know,
That would be
there,
nice.
There really should be. So, okay. So then back to the other thing that I kind of, you mentioned that you're sort of upset that that reward is so big. I think, yeah, you know, you might be right, but I kind of feel like that isn't that bad a reward, but the reward for other things that are equally difficult is way too low.
No doubt. I would agree with that statement.
I would flip, like, because I remember back in the day, we used to score big, big material rewards for Thargoid killing missions back when conflict zones were readily available and you can kind of get those things. And after the war kind of started, they kind of redid that whole structure, and the rewards, the missions were just extremely onerous. You know, 3 Medusas, which almost would never, ever, ever spawn, because the only conflict zones you could get were in invasion systems, which almost exclusively spawn Cyclopses. So you almost never find what you're actually looking for. And to get 3 of them in one play session, and the mission timer is so short, so you can't spread it over multiple days. And then at the end, it might only be worth 3 or 4 or 5 units. Give me a break. Three Medusas should be worth 10 or 15 units of something. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not afraid of a Medusa. I'm in the minority, though. Like, I'm sorry, everyone. Unless you're going to go and join a Finance Friday at some ridiculously hard thing, like, 3 Medusas, that's a long session. I'm going to have sore elbows. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I get that done, I will be synthing a lot. That's a tough one.
And how long's the timer on that? I mean, is it like a 3-day
timer?
They're
not days. They're like hours. They're like 24 hours. Yeah. Oh,
geez.
So you have one. That's what really pissed me off about the whole thing. And that's why I didn't continue. You know, I didn't keep fighting in invasion zones, because it was the missions were pointless, and it was like, this is like sort of easy combat. And I know it can be fun, but like, It was better before. They made a little bit of adjustments to it, but what they adjusted didn't quite go far enough. They kind of made them all single kills, mostly occasional double kill missions, but the rewards changed from being they were like 1 or maybe 2 units. So they went back up to being, you know, 4 or 5 or something. But yeah, 6 to 9 would be better. I think more missions should be in that zone. They shouldn't be afraid at this point. They shouldn't be afraid of throwing around materials. It would take a lot for materials to lose the crown of being the most valuable thing in the game. It would take a lot of inflation for them to lose that crown. Especially since money has even less value than before. I mean, Our folks who have been, I've just not had much interest, but I've done the billion in an hour at the Spire site thing here. And it's not that I needed the money, because I had many, many billions to begin with. I gave a bunch of it away because I didn't have anything to do with it. But like Borked, who just buys people fleet carriers, pulled 70 bill out of his, I mean, made the numbers that we put up when we got the gold medal as a squad. Chump change compared to what's going on now, and it's not even combat.
Oh,
so
crap,
money is even more worthless than normal.
The issue is not that 6 to 10 mats are some crazy number, because a lot more missions should be like that. And honestly, if I wanted like biotech conductors, I can go to 6 systems, grab a handful of assassination missions, you know. Yeah, make one jump. The things will interdict me, and the reward for those missions is 5 biotech conductors. I can probably get them faster than completing the Spire mission. It's that we've set the precedent of a fairly low intensity mission rewarding up to 10 materials that we don't do anywhere else.
Yeah.
Great 5.
Well, I don't know. I think you're saying low intensity. I think this, first of all, I think I have not run one of these. Okay, but
neither have I.
I think it's a little more intense than you're giving credit for, because you're carrying commodities from the Spire site. You're getting your intermediate reward, which is a commodity, and you are delivering that to the Spire site, and then you're getting out alive. So there's lots of points in there where you could get glaived and lose all your stuff and have to start over.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You could die at several points and lose the things you're carrying. Your SRV gets blown up, you know, by Revenant or whatever. There's lots of ways that this could go sideways. So I don't know. It seems a legit material reward to me, but I think the point we agree on is that there are plenty of other missions that should be paying better. Probably Agreed. To do with this war, but hopefully not exclusively to do with the war.
Think about some of the planetary scan missions that require you to fly 30 minutes out into the ether to get to some planet to scan it.
Yeah. Yeah. Low intensity, but still.
But a huge time sink. Yeah, huge time sink. You're not doing anything else for that time. And, you know, if the reward for that is three materials or you know.
Five influence.
Or five influence, yeah.
I never do those missions except if I'm pumping influence for BGS. So it's always five influence if I'm flying.
I don't even do them then. I don't even do them then because you could just find other missions to turn around faster.
Right.
Yeah. And that's like the big commodity in the game with Elite Dangerous. And like one of my really good friends is a real big computer game guy. And when he tried out Elite Dangerous.
Oh, sorry. I just killed a Banshee from my ship. It was really easy.
With what gun?
With the enhanced missile launcher. And I was just firing behind it because I've already got to hit him in the balls.
Oh, the balls are on their belly. But
it was three shots and it got it.
Oh, see, I've not got missiles to land because of their countermeasures.
Yeah, there's a DBX and a Crusader here that are players. We're all just flying around killing stuff.
Cool. Take out the Banshees and then the skies are safe. Switch to Orthrus after that. Don't shoot the ones that exit from the spires, though. Shoot the ones that appear out of clouds. Hyperspace portals. The ones that are exiting from the spires will do a shutdown pulse if you shoot them. But the ones that hyperspace in, the ones that are returning home, are just too tired. So, weapons free.
Too tired
on those.
To pulse.
Yeah. Oh, and don't be surprised if a Cyclops shows up. I've been there a few times.
Oh, I've got like four scouts on me now. So,
well, there's plenty of scouts. That's not shouldn't be a problem. But the occasionally a Cyclops. A Cyclops will show up, which did surprise us the first time. It was like, wait, there's an interceptor that's shooting, which is fun. Anyway, I can't remember what was happening. I think Blooming Wind was talking.
What I was saying was just a thing. It's the time is the biggest commodity in this game because a lot of the tasks take time. And so some of the rewards might be, you know, in a certain sense, the amount of time, the amount of steps that you have to do. I mean, the assassination missions where you have to go and scan where your target is before you go and kill your target.
Yeah. Like or meet a contact.
Yeah, they pay so much better. Well, the contact ones don't, but the...
meet a contact is an instant abandon.
Those ones go.
It seems like 50% of the time they bug and I don't get to complete them anyway, so... Probably a good move.
Yeah, and you're going to get that influence back with the other seven assassination missions from the same thing that you're doing. So it's like, okay, I hurt your feelings for 5 minutes. But, you know, my one of my friends, who's really into computer games and plays a lot of computer games, he couldn't get into Elite Dangerous because of the time sink. Sort of the, I got to go to Hutton Orbital, or, you know, this thing is, you know, 20,000 light seconds out from the star. And for him, that was aggravating. For me, I'm flying my spaceship and it's my downtime and it's relaxing and I enjoy it. Like, I mean, I enjoy this game, but for him, he's just like, I want to get there instantly. I want to do the task. I want to get it done. I want to be in it at all times. And, you know, same thing with these rewards. It's like, I think they're rewarding to some degree the number of steps.
And that's fair. You can see that kind of from both sides. Cause I agree with you. Like my favoring of this game is so much to do with the corners that they don't let you cut. The fact that there isn't a fast travel, the fact that your fast travel costs 7 billion credits and, it also takes 15 minutes. It takes 15 minutes to move you instantly.
Paw curls.
Yeah, it's not that fast.
Because I appreciate what aspects of Sim that they had the intestinal fortitude to leave in. And sure, there would be a point, right, in a space sim where it would be too much, right? So I do think this game draws a pretty good line between how gamey it can be, like the fact that our ships have a top speed, even though I can fly them with flight assist off and everything, that's really nice. But they need to have a top speed or I would never have any kind of engagement with another ship that I could see. I would always be going 30,000 kilometers a second.
I have an update. I made it out with 35% hull. There was like four other people that showed up, one of them in a Crusader that dropped off two SRV Scorpions, which I assume had four people in them each, or at least three, or one in one and two in another, because it's a Crusader. And then he was flying low and cold, taking out the Revenants and Banshees for them, while I was flying high above them, taking out the Scouts until I finally ran out of limpets and
There you go.
Oh, and then I got out of there. So I didn't get any mats, but that was a successful run. Yay!
Yay!
Congratulations. Next time, hang around and smoke the Orthrus with him, because that's the money.
Yeah, these enhanced AX human weapons actually tear through the low-level Thargoid guys pretty efficiently.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
I'm very pleased with that.
Cool.
So, yeah, that was fun. I see why people do it.
Yeah, it's a cool site for sure. So about in the show notes, you will find somebody's helpfully put in here for me the link to the Burr Pits video talking about the news of it all, of these new missions, and then the Commander Mechan video, the explaining the new missions in 2 minutes, and of course he'll take you right through with some visual aids and stuff.
Nice.
In traditional Commander Mechan fashion. And here's how you put the screws to the Thargoids right now. Sabotage those spire sites. Because Daddy Palin said so.
Daddy Palin. Jeez.
I don't know. I don't know which ones they call Daddy. That. I can't keep track. But anyway. So that's about the size of it. I mean, so let's see. Community Corner. There's, you know what we haven't talked about on this show yet that I've been hearing more and more about? From Alec over at Lave Radio is this
Sir Alec
French. See, this is, it's already so divorced from the source of that inside joke that, like, I think some people have said the Sir Alec Turner joke to me who definitely don't know why we started calling him Sir Alec Turner, and so it's taken on a mind of its own at this point. Anyway, yes, so Sir Alec Turner has been sharing, and now since then, others have picked up on it too. But as with many things, Alex spreads the word, and then everyone else starts to listen about this French Elite Dangerous group. It is apparently also a French language podcast, but it, you know, I guess it's just Elite Dangerous, but said very French. the word in French for it, it's like dangereux or something, you know. It looks, I only glanced at it, but it looked like the spelling's not even that different. But anyway, so here's the cool thing that they're doing. They're creating these adventures. I'll find the link as soon as I'm done talking and stick it into the notes because it's not there right now. But they're putting together these adventures that are that you would put on basically like a companion screen of some kind. And you follow along, like go to this place and take this action in game. You log in and it gets to look at your live logs. You log in the same way you normally do with anything else, EDMC or whatever, right? So you do the little approved with your Frontier login. So it can track your info, and it, that proves that you've gone to the place and taken the action that will progress the story. And then you read along what's happening in the story. There's maps, there's graphics, there's videos and animations, there's voice acted stuff. It sounds fantastic. And apparently there's a lot of missions that are all put together here. Story-based missions that people have taken upon themselves to do. And of course, it's a French group, but I think a lot of the content, and hopefully more and more and more as it goes on, is available in other languages, including English. So it sounds fantastic. And yet another thing to do in the game that sometimes kind of lacks narrative.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't really their goal necessarily to make a lot of long narrative. But this seems to be pretty good, you know. Second screen, you're just tabbing into a browser once in a while. Pretty good compromise for a game, an ancient game such as this. And I'll tell you know, congratulations.
That does sound pretty interesting.
I might have to install it.
It's just going to a website. Nothing install about it.
Even
it's
better.
Easy. It's easy as pie. Yeah. So, I will definitely find that link. Anyway, that's the story. I haven't done any of them yet. It just clearly deserves some more signal boosting.
And if it's all fairly easy to create your own adventures, we can start writing some for Loose Screws.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Exactly on that.
Well, they have to go to the adult section.
It makes you wonder how easy it would be. I mean, obviously, some of these that involve that they've made videos and voice acting for and all this stuff. It depends how far you want to go. I mean, you could make it text and text based, and that might just do the job. But obviously, the more salt and pepper you add,
you know,
the better it's going to be. So, if there are people out there who feel like they don't. They have some creative energy that isn't being put to use. I can hardly think of a better use than trying to cook up one of these adventures. Yeah, it sounds great. And you know what?
It does sound like a lot of fun. No, I like it. Not going to lie.
Games that do eventually turn into dead games can still have stuff like this. So
yeah.
I see a lot of interesting value in this as we, you know, as the clock keeps ticking forward at approximately 1 second per second.
It's going that fast?
Well, I say approximately because, you know, relativity and all that. But yeah, it's pretty close to that, Lark.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me. I turned 42 at the end of this week.
Yikes. Happy birthday. Yikes, bro.
Yeah, it is a yikes.
No comment.
Nah, you're fine. You're gonna be fine.
No, it's weird because in my brain I still feel like I'm like a 20 something, but my body likes to remind me I am very much not at random occasions.
Let me explain to you, youngin.
Let me explain something about old bodies.
The difference
Nurgle's
between
like, listen here, you little.
the difference between being in your 50s and being in your 20s, I can still do almost everything I could do when I was 20. The problem is it takes me a week to recover from it.
Yeah.
That's the difference. So go out there and you be you. Just understand that you're just going to have to recover because you're not going to bounce back like you did when you were 20.
Well, I missed a bounce back.
I don't even understand what bounce back is anymore.
So,
ball just hit the ground like thud.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, guys. Is there any more Elite content? It looks like somebody's put a bunch of movies into my show notes. So
I think we've beaten that dead horse. Although we do have to mention, since Chig is not here, to congratulate Trax on finally making Triple Elite.
Oh, I've made Triple Elite. It's excellent.
Oh, guys.
we had faith you could get there, man.
You make me feel so loved, you know?
I am almost halfway through Dangerous right now.
And I still lack completing Exploration, so.
The easiest one.
I don't know, trading is the easiest one.
Because are you sure?
Positive. Absolutely positive. It's not even close. Yeah.
I got trading during the mining boom, so.
So did I. Yeah.
And that took 5 minutes.
Yeah. It took no time at all. In fact, I may be elite 5 in trading because it's just so easy to get trade.
I would be elite 5 if I was on, you know, PC, but for like a year and a half from when Odyssey came out until I bought a PC.
But I just don't have the I don't have the exploration gene in me. I can't do it for more than a few minutes. So
yeah. I don't usually stick with it very much either, personally.
All right,
I like the idea of it. You know, when I see people, they're talking about, oh, and I'm doing this exploration and look at these screenshots, and I'm like, that is really cool. But what they're not telling you is that the thing that they showed you on YouTube is, you know, a 5 minute supercut of like 600 hours of video or whatever, and they enjoyed it, and that's great.
But I was going to say the short version of that is what they aren't telling you is they want to fly into the star.
Yeah.
It's like, when I go out there and I don't find the super cool thing in the first 2 hours, it's like, oh man. So I'm going to have to do this, two or four hours at a time for several weeks. And then I'm maybe going to find something.
No, I'm not going to lie. I do have the exploration itch, but it comes and goes. Part of me. Being on this big push to get all the Stargoid stuff going to where I could actually get there was because I knew it would scratch that exploration itch because I didn't want to go out of the bubble right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, and I like it.
All righty.
Okay. Yeah.
You want to do some movie talk?
Fluff away. Yep.
Fluff away. All right. So we have four movies of, I guess I'll say, consequence. For lack of a better term,
consequence
anniversaries. You'll understand what I'm saying in a second. So 15 years ago, we have Quantum of Solace, the James Bond movie.
Ooh, I like that one.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yep.
20 years ago, Master and Commander.
I love that movie.
Which was a pretty good movie.
Flick. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
30 years ago, Adam's Family Values, which maybe not as good as the first one, but still a pretty good movie.
Is that the one with the scene with the turkey and that I take over the play, or was that the first one?
That's the second one. That is Family Values.
I love that whole sequence.
Yeah, that movie has its moments. It absolutely has its moments. And then, and this is where I say of questionable worth, 40 years ago, Yentl.
The frick is Yentl?
I don't know anything about that either.
Yentl was such a bad movie that clearly, you know, half the people in this podcast have never even heard of it because it's such a bad movie. Yentl, when it came out, was Barbara Streisand and somebody else. I mean, it ruined movie careers when it came out. It was that bad.
Oh, my.
Wow.
So,
I've only watched two movies in that list. Guess the two.
Quantum of Solace and Master and Commander.
I would have said Adam's Family and Master and Commander.
One is correct. I've seen Quantum of Solace.
You haven't seen Master and Commander? Adam's,
so
Adam's Family Values has to be the other one.
Nope.
Because no Yentl. Human being has seen Yentl. You've seen Yentl?
I've seen Yentl. I saw it on cable because we had Prism, which was the Philadelphia version of MSG. So whenever there wasn't sporting events, they'd have movies. And that one was in heavy rotation.
Yeah.
So I ended up watching it once. And I'll tell you, I'm more of the Chosen guy than I am Yentl. But the guy in it was Mandy Patinkin.
Yes.
Inigo Montoya was in it.
Yes.
He was a love interest.
And it's probably been 39 years since I've seen it. But I remember it as being really, really bad.
I mean, basically, it's kind of derivative of Twelfth Night and by Shakespeare. The same kind of concept, I think that Twelfth Night wins that
like
one.
Like The Lion King.
Yeah. Hamlet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
Are we implying that Disney steals intellectual property to make movies? No.
No, I think there's just only so many stories to tell, and they just, you change the dressing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's fair. I mean, look at a lot of the novels that are written nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, and how many great stories were actually just, okay, they took Shakespeare and they retread it? I mean, well, Strange Brew?
Yeah, when Shakespeare is your base, it's kind of hard to go wrong.
True.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it's happened again. You've listened to another episode of the Loose Screws podcast. I don't know what to tell you.
This far in, it's really on the listeners. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's
If this was the first time you've completed an episode of the Loose Screws podcast, I mean, what'd you think? Come and tell us. Come let us know. There's Discord links in the show notes. Get there or comment on YouTube. I don't care. If you do, I'll see it. I probably won't reply. No offense. I just reply to very few of the comments. Sometimes I thumbs up them if I feel like it. But come into Discord because that's where the action happens. And I don't know. At this point, you've been warned. You know what's going on. So if you come around again, it means, you know, you're one of us.
Down deep, you like it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's all, everybody. So get out there, sabotage those spire sites or whatever else you want to do. And keep it loose and screwy. I should thank my cast, who are Blooming Wind.
Thank you.
And Lark Shadow.
Flip Fart.
And Nurgle.
Thank you, sir.
And what do we say? Until next time, fly loose and fly screwy? Is this something like that?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just pull the lever in airlock 5.
Okay. Goodbye into the void.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.